Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark amove.tv for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Welcome back, everybody, to Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm. I'm Garrett Weinzerl. I'm joined by Kyle Ferguson. We've got quite a bit to talk about today, which I feel like I say every week.
But Heroes is a busy game, and it does not stop for you or the sports of which it conducts.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Some of my other podcasts, I say we've got a lot to talk about today. We really don't. Sometimes
bold-faced lie.
Yeah, sometimes it's a bold-faced lie. Exactly. I don't think that's ever stopped being 100% true on this particular show because of the righteous speed at which Heroes moves with updates, iteration, new heroes, balances, and all that kind of stuff. And we have a lot of that to talk about this week. But before we get into that, hi, Kyle. How you doing? How's Heroes treating you?
It's doing better. You know, last week I was at a pretty low, really struggling, and I got it back this week. Win rate is up, back to 60%. Things are looking pretty good. And I'll tell you the secret, Garrett. It's what it always was, which is playing heroes you're really, really good at. That 20% damage back into overkill helped Tychus a lot, and I've been succeeding with him. But actually, I went and pressed the button this week. I have removed allied chat. And it is still a feature of my streams because, you know, it's about the zoo, right? People want to see what's going on, who's getting tilted, the drama of it. But for my own games, I have turned off allied chat.
Okay, so if you're person, like when you're off stream, you know, what a novel concept, by the way, doing anything where you don't show the entire world what it is.
I know. Playing in secret.
Yeah. Needless to say, earlier this week, picked myself up Lucio, went and tried him out. Thoroughly enjoyed him. Spoiler alert. We're going to talk about him. I tweeted out how much I was enjoying him and got like a couple tweets. Oh, where was the stream? I'm just like, I've never really streamed. So I'm not sure why this is. I just do the podcast. I don't usually stream my gameplay. But yeah, I'm one of those elusive people. I only come on here. You only get to see my shining face when I want to just sit here and have a conversation. I do my gaming in private. I'm so afraid everyone's going to judge me.
Well, and I have had great success with streaming. I learned a ton all the time. We bring together information from so many different people and are able to congeal it into something useful. And I love getting to play heroes in front of an audience. It's made me so much better. Here's the thing, though. I'm a good Ragnaros with Blast Wave, with Lava Wave. And those two things are very much out of style right now. But let's take a little journey through talenting Ragnaros as it is in the HGC. It is busy. It is ridiculously busy. HGC wants you to pick up Sulfurous Hungers. We're going to have to farm a lane. All right, sit on that for a moment. Farming a lane with any sanity in Hero League. Not having someone come by, maybe ruining that lane a little bit for you, killing the minions you're trying to farm up. New Murky is going to be really upset about that. You thought people used to yell at Murky? Murky's going to be yelling at you next week.
I want to hear that. I want to hear a judgmental fish person screaming in my ear.
They will. Have you ever been yelled at by an Asmodan? Of course you have.
Because they're
stacking the thing. Murky's going to be doing a very similar thing in the rework. So you're manning this lane, and you're trying to get the final hits on it to up the damage of a spell that heals you. So not only are you not in control in a voiceless environment of clearing the lane to the way you want it, you also are trying to focus on how is my damage changing? How is this healing entering me different? And then you go on in the HGC build to level 4 to take Catching Fire, which is a phenomenal talent. It's going to give you lots of resistance, some regeneration, but being able to activate a 25% resistance is extremely powerful. Guess what I don't have time for? Collecting globes, making sure my friends, my allies in this instance, don't steal the globes before I get in range for them. So you know what? Blast Wave is an amazing, amazing build. And people tilt when they see it, Garrett. And it wins. I won 8 and lost two with Blast Wave this week. It's incredible. It puts my mind in the right space. It makes me play Rag correctly. As it stacks together, I know exactly what sort of power I'm jumping to. Guess what? I take this level one, I take this level four. If I don't pay attention to it, I get zero power. Blast Wave guarantees that power. I know I'm talking, I'm kind of preaching now, but that's because you gotta. So I had to turn off that chat because it distracted me from doing what I do best. Dehaka's not a god. He doesn't sweep in from everywhere all the time. It's got cooldowns. Silence that chat. Played a much better and successful Dehaka this week when people aren't yelling at you the whole time.
There are two, I think, two morals to this story that I really like. These are the type of discussions that I love having, Kyle. One, how your at-home pickup games should play differently from HGC because they should. And you've brought that up in your build that gets you raged at. And also social engineering, which in your case is muting everyone.
In this case, because I was aware of what I was doing and what sort of advantage I was bringing to the field and how I scaled up over the game, their contributions were useless to me and put me on tilt. Hmm. We can cry about Sulfurous Smash being the most ridiculous amount of damage in that center circle. But as we talked about last week, Lava Wave, XP from across the map, soaking, be able to come back from a behind position by doing a, you know, blunt range Lava Wave on someone's face when they're standing at your core. Like, these are all wonderful ways to make up for a Hero League situation that are going to upset people. And now in the background, too, we have a very popular build circling around right now for Nazebo, which was posted by Horsepants over on Reddit. Great read, very fun to read, but it said basically the exact same thing. This build is incredible. Everyone else, shut up. And in this case, I'm not a shut up kind of guy. I'm more just a, let me remove this input.
Gotcha,
so
gotcha.
That is the thing. You know, it'll still be on my streams. When I play Tychus, I'm not concerned. But right now, I got to be all I can be and use every single little edge I can get.
Well, I really like that. And like I said, that type of like, selfishness in a way, right? You're tailoring the game for your own purposes. What I am not saying when I say that I like that you've come to this, Kyle, you've come to this point, is not, I'm not saying I agree with you. Everyone playing Heroes right now, go out and mute your chat. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you are personally tilted by folks yelling at you because of a certain build and you believe in your build as much as Mr. Kyle Ferguson sitting right here does, consider it.
It could be an option. The game is just very grumpy right now. There's a lot of grumpy people and I've been enjoying stepping away from that. But I am very sad at the same time when there are awesome plays, because I've had those exchanges where someone's been like, dude, what health did you get away with? And I'm like, I got away with 15 health. And they're like, oh my God, what an escape. And did you see that hearth? And we're all geeking out of each other. But that's 1 in 10 games, really.
Yeah.
So it's time for that step back. I mean, we can try to analyze maybe what's going on in the scene right now. We talked about last week, a lot of frustrating, maybe shields flying around. Things are constantly changing. I feel like there's been a huge influx of people who don't leave the draft behind and are unwilling to end that discussion for the betterment of focus. And my gut reaction is to place that blame on Overwatch and their crowd moving over here. They're a type that's very much, why do we have this comp? Let's fix it right now. Mm. And they want to discuss what's wrong with that third Hanzo and then have an exchange of words. But it's no longer useful at this point in Heroes.
I agree with all the points you brought up, Kyle, but honestly, I think the grumpiness, I think it has nothing to do with Heroes of the Storm. Kyle, it's tax season.
and Valentine's Day, too.
And Valentine's Day, yeah. The two should not come at the same time. They should not arrive within days of each other, but they do. So, nonetheless. Anywho, before we get into the news, I do want to mention real quick, Kyle, you will be out of town next week.
I will.
So we will have a Kyle Ferguson free Into the Nexus. And I'm sure last year when I stepped away for a week and you were left manning the show, there was no panic at all because everyone's like, well, we come here for Kyle. We're glad Garrett's here to stitch it together with a few words every now and then. But honestly, we're here for Kyle Ferguson. So belay that terror, everyone, because Kyle has big shoes to fill. And I'm filling them to the best of my ability. Dunk Train will be joining us on next week's episode. No, we have not hit our Patreon goal to have him on monthly, but we're getting closer to it, by the way. So if you like the show, if you want us to have more permanent guests like Jeff Cannata, who is now going to be a permanent monthly guest, and Dunk Train, who is the next goal as a permanent monthly guest, head on over to patreon.com/ITN and throw us a dollar or two. You know, that way we'd really appreciate it. But Dunk Train will be on next week, filling in for Mr. Kyle Ferguson, so you can look forward to that. And I believe we can also confirm, Kyle, that on Thursday, so the following Thursday, the one following that, we'll have Jeff on, rounding out February. So two guest shows in a row. And I think Dunk will do a decent job, you know.
Yeah, he's only coming on the day of a release week for a support. So I think it'll be pretty good for y'all.
I don't see any correlation there. I don't understand why you would think that would be a good thing. But yeah, I'm very excited for it. So, and with any luck, he'll stick around for an after show game and, he can calmly talk me through murdering everyone in the chat. I'm sorry in advance if that ends up happening, by the way, everyone. But now there's a lot of Heroes news to talk about. So let's do it.
We're on, boys. Let's liven up this place.
Can Stitches play now? Point me to the stage.
Alrighty, so obviously Lucio is the big thing right now. Not live in the game. He's going to be live next week. Sadly, Kyle, you will not be here. So let's get it all out of your system right now. What are your first impressions of this Overwatch hero coming to Heroes of the Storm?
This doofy jet set radio character.
Yeah, Burger King Kids Club meets Jet Set Radio.
I loved him, and he was fun.
Really?
I didn't expect that, no.
You, Kyle Ferguson, are enjoying Lucio.
Yeah, and it's a little Humans of the Storm recently. I know there's been rag, but we have a lot of people, humanoids, in the game. And, you know, Lucio fits really well. He kind of marries what they did with Tracer, along with their further iterations on armor, on how supporting works, advancing that role, making interesting decisions with mana. Amp it up is crazy expensive. Everything else is cheap. So you have decisions to make that can be very unique and active rather than spammy and I'm out, guys. I need to retreat. It's your fault if you need to retreat. His movement is so unique that you're constantly thinking in different ways. His attacks are so low that you're constantly paying attention to those other ways, too. It just married together to something phenomenal, and I'm very impressed. Still don't want to be like, it's kind of a scooter situation, fun as heck, but I'm not sure I want to really be seen playing Lucio as a main kind of thing.
Yeah, all right. I'm in a very similar boat, and I've already gone through this twice because I went through the same thing in Overwatch. Lucio is a character that I still to this day am teasing because it's one of my least favorite designs, I think, in the history of Blizzard heroes. I think there's something about him that just looks like it's like Mountain Dew Extreme. It's a little on the nose. It's a little absurd to me. It's not my cup of tea. And you, Kyle, I'm extremely surprised because we all know you love yourself some fantasy. You love playing the monster.
Yeah, and if I'm not a monster, I want a sword in my hand.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle Ferguson, if you are just joining us, folks, and you don't actually know a lot about the two of us, is a massive Dungeons & Dragons nerd, one of the best DMs I've ever had the pleasure of playing with. So he loves himself, some hard fantasy, some crazy monsters, a lot of armor, large weapons. So, like, the cool dude on roller skates isn't really his jam, and honestly, not really mine either, but, you know, I went into Overwatch expecting to hate him, and ended up falling in love with him because his kit is just so much fun. Wall riding is a blast. The fact that you're just passively healing while you're blasting the crap out of people with your, you know, speaker gun, it was something I found. I was surprised that I enjoyed. And the same thing now has happened in Heroes of the Storm. I was thinking, oh, well, I love Brightwing, so I probably won't like Lucio all that much because it's going to be very similar without any utility. I'm not going to have Polymorph. I'm not going to be able to give people shields. And I was totally wrong. I love him. He is so fun to play. I think it's the mobility, right? It's just like his mobility. There's something just instantly gratifying about right-clicking on who you want to shoot and then just kind of darting around and continuing to fire upon them in this game, where unless you've been playing Tracer, you are not used to that happening.
It's a really fun thought experiment to think where Lucio ends up if you made a special box just for him. You got Global Brightwing, which has some powers taken from her. What if Brightwing wasn't global? You'd get Lucio. And what if you didn't have all your wall rides, all your mobility, all these different spells, movement speed? You get Morales. It's this really weird in-between of those two heroes. And it works out to be fantastically fun, have a lot of things to contribute. And the movement speed, oh my goodness, the amount of locomotion that you can get a team into, the amount of trouble you can get them out of. Like, we're talking about Artanis. What are we going to do about Artanis in the past? He's fallen down a little bit. People have started to counterplay. What do you do about Artanis to recover that position? Well, you land a sick cleanse, or they dodge at the last moment. No, you give them movement speed and they walk out.
Yeah,
it's the answer to every problem we've been facing, except for maybe the Varian Valyra maybe have too much stun piled up together problem. Movement speed is going to change this game dramatically.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But so if it say Lucio does have a huge effect because of movement speed, what happens to the team that doesn't get him?
Then do they become hammery and turtly so that they're facile zerglings outside your wall, but they just can't get in? We're going to have to find out next week.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's my first impression. I love being wrong, by the way. Can I just say how much I love being wrong when I'm just like, I'm not going to like this thing, and I end up loving it? It's one of the best feelings out there. So I'm glad to be proven wrong a second time on Lucio. And I'm glad you talk about his ability to get you into trouble and get you out of trouble, because it's the same thing he does in Overwatch. And it's so unique to see this happening, right? Like, there's no other games where you're watching characters with very specific kits be brought from one game into another and bring with it all of the same tools and utility that it has in the game that it originated from. We're only seeing that with Heroes of the Storm. And it very specifically is happening with Overwatch.
And they did include the sort of Tracer lock-on, fast attack speed, no need to reload, neither does Lucio in Overwatch, so they kept that sort of theme of him. Wall riding, though, is a actual advantage in movement speed. You move through other units, including enemies, and all the wealth of talents you can do to augment this thing. I mean, wall ride to me in Overwatch is panic in the pagoda and make sure I get hit a little less, kind of like what I do with Genji when I'm just randomly running up walls until I have cooldown on reflect. It's just, but here it's very legitimate, and it's what you should be aiming for at all times.
I would like to insert an asterisk. Wall riding is very legitimate in actual Overwatch if you're good.
I'm sure there's lots of things you can do up on that wall rather than just try to dodge shots.
Yes.
But like, also to me, Soundwave, the Q in Overwatch, is really cute for pushing people off. That has no applications at all in Heroes of the Storm.
No, but you have movement speed. You can move faster than everyone else on foot, so you can get behind them and push them into your team.
Not to mention Battlefield of Eternity situations. You got a Kael'thas on your team. You can pop people into that circle. There's going to be some good Lucios. Alarax do this all the time to people. Lucio's even more control because of the movement speed.
Yeah, he. I mean, in Overwatch, he can be a very griefing support, and he's absolutely going to bring that with him to Heroes of the Storm. He's going to grief. He's going to make you angry. He's going to displace you and make you yell at your monitor. But if you're the one doing it, you're going to be cheering, and you're going to have the biggest smile on your face.
Now, granted, from behind, like many of these high mobility, low health heroes, even Brightwings, you will struggle a lot. And I certainly did in the games I played on the PTR.
Why is that?
Because your heals are these tiny things that are spread. You're very cooldown and mana reliant to amp it up with your E and encourage that speed boost to be 45% or just really pump out that healing. But it's for 3 seconds, untalented. And that's not going to be enough to really help you maybe recover from one of those positions.
No, it's not. But I mean, that's where your your heroic can come in and save some bacon if you go with the shield heroic. That being said, I've had enough of that in my Overwatch, so I've been murdering people with my sweet beats.
Nice. Well, let's break it down. Called Sound Barrier, his first heroic, it gives massive shields that are decaying, just like Overwatch. And yes. I never really learned my lesson in a first-person shooter, but here in Heroes of the Storm, top-down view, I'm very aware of when we should all just bail and when damage is inefficient. And Sound Barrier is kind of like a palm. It's just going, hey, this fight is not efficient for the next 3 seconds. Let's get out. But you can't get out because he's movement speed after you. It's a really weird equation.
I haven't thought about it that way. But I want to come back to the trait real fast. What do you think of Wall Ride? Because Wall Ride is the one thing that's a little bit of a sticking point for me. And it makes me want to do something that I've never wanted to do in Heroes of the Storm. I want to go and just do science. I want to get statistics for Lucio that you would normally reserve for a car. I want to know what a 0 to 60 is. I want to know on each map if it's more worth it for me to just mindlessly move across the map from point A to point B, or if I should be microwing closer to walls so I get the 20% movement speed from the trait of wall ride. The problem is that wall riding, you actually requires a lot of finesse if you want to stay on that wall and gain the benefit of that 20% movement speed.
You do have the movement speed for an extra second when you're off the wall, and that's when you're really able to move through characters. Of course, if they are touching the wall, you can ride over them, but otherwise, moving and chaining from building to building within that 1 second is how you're going to maximize your speed. I've just been holding down the move button on my mouse, and I do this with characters that are very fluid, whether they actually are or not. Like Tyrael, because he has wings, instead of clicking everywhere, I hold the button because the wings give me this floaty feel. It's just, I don't know why that happens. Something I do. It works really, really well with Lucio to make sure you stay up on those walls. Having to click at the bottom of every single wall is going to lead to disaster as he goes, where do you want me? You want me to go back the other way? I got it for you. Here I go. And it just causes a mess.
Fair enough. But yeah, so that's the little thing in the back of my brain. So one thing that doesn't seem as fluid as it should be, but I'm not even sure it's worth it. Because, I mean, when you really want wall ride, right, is when you're getting body blocked and you want to pass through someone. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's super great about wall ride. It makes me want like a Reaper skin for him from StarCraft, not Overwatch, by the way.
He also can stay up on that wall indefinitely, even if you turn around. It doesn't really have any physics to it. So as long as you can hold that button and ride it out, you're good to go for as long as you can through that entire Dragonshire between the mid and the bottom. You can just ride that whole wave to go. It's pretty good. And you can ill it in the core. Your auto attacks are awful, but you can just wall ride spin around that core till you win.
Which is what I did the first time I went into an AI game and was about to win. Immediately started doing circles around the core.
It's too fun.
It is. It's a blast. And it's BM. And who doesn't love fun BM?
His other heroic, Reverse Amp, is very dangerous as well. Lowering movement speed or doing damage instead of healing.
Yes. Yeah. It does the opposite of Sound Barrier. It does damage to enemy heroes. It causes your healing boost to inflict damage, and your speed boost will slow them by 45%. So I still think Sound Barrier is correct. You want to be giving shields.
In the current meta, yes.
Yeah, you want to be giving shields. That being said, Reverse Amp is cool. It's very cool. And it also plays on our expectations, right? Because we expect... Zarya kind of turned it on its head, right? Because she came in and we actually had an option of heroics. But again, like Lucia was coming in, I'm like, well, are they going to go the Tracer route and he's just going to be like verbatim? Or are we going to get a choice on a heroic? And we got the choice. And I like it that it's there. Yes. When I take Lucio in the Hero League, which I think I will be doing, by the way, I will be taking Sound Barrier.
I think you should. Reverse Amp can be very powerful. I struggle to think where you would want a second support in there to even him out so you could go this way. I think he's good to go in solo support land. I think maybe Tyrande, right? Like our heavy damage supports could squeeze in here. But even then, in this current meta, shields are just too powerful to force enemy mistakes, to punish an advantage you have briefly. it works out.
It really does. I mean, we had our you tweeted it out earlier, if anyone missed it, where you and I played. We just enjoyed a quick little match before the show, and we won against Best Player NA. Clearly,
that was his name.
Yeah. So we as you said, we can retire now. But I was on Valir when we had a Tassadar, and it was gross. It was gross. The amount of stupid moves I was able to make and survive.
Tassadar is very powerful by himself. I wouldn't be surprised if we go through a period of low win rate, Lucio. He's very unique. People need to figure him out. But also, people are going to draft a second support, and you don't need it. And we've learned that lesson now with Tassadar.
Yeah. Well, I know, because I'm cheating. I'm looking at the notes. But I know Lucio has instilled new thoughts in your head, Kyle. It's brought you... a certain level of concern. What's on your brain when it comes to Lucio?
I am concerned about movement creep, and not the creep that Zagara makes or the minions in lane, but sort of the card terminology as heroes are released, they are more powerful than their previous versions because the developers either found a better way to do that, the systems changed, they got better, or you just push the envelope and that's what naturally happens.
Gotcha. So you're co-opting the term power creep for Heroes of the Storm, you're concerned about movement speed creep.
Particularly when we get into things like Tassadar's Plasma Shield, which is a 25% movement speed bonus for 5 seconds. 25, not crazy. Level 4 talent, up against Kala's Light that gives 25 armor when that shield breaks, which is a very powerful choice, but 5 full seconds of it. And then looking at perhaps infinite amounts of movement speed changing the battlefield with Lucio on board. Just think of the simple fact that a melee has to be in melee to get damage done. Give him movement speed, you just increased his DPS for all case and purposes. So, are we entering a problem time again? Like our Kael'thas of old, do we need to take a step back and tune these down? Why'd we make room with the mount nerf for these sort of things to exist where you can now go faster than mount speed?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call it right this second, right? Let's let it go live and see what happens.
Certainly.
I mean, you prefaced this, Kyle, 2 minutes ago by saying, I expect low win rate Lucio's at launch.
Yeah, so we're just going to have to see. And there could be future heroes that come. It is a concern of mine because of more Hero League scenarios. In all reality, this will be planned for and expected by the pros. They will choose to make comps that encourage movement speed, but it could be a very easy way to increase the toxicity of Hero League as you get swarmed by heavy melee comps.
I mean, dive comps in general, they're gonna dive in, and they're hopefully going to be able to get out.
And they will, with movement speed. They'll get in and out. And add to that the possibly blossoming problem I discussed earlier with Valyra and Varian's stuns being so long.
Well, that's the thing. If you can counter it with stuns, though, right? Because he has to stop healing to give them a speed boost.
Exactly. And that's why maybe Lucio is very well designed and this problem won't arise, because there'll just be too many issues with keeping the speed boost on. There are very cute ways in the talents to elongate the duration of amp it up, your way to empower your sound wave. And every time you switch between the two for one go, you double the duration. That's pretty scary. That's a powerful talent, perhaps. I mean, look at this talent at 16 on Lucio. Sound wave blinds for 2.5 seconds. 2.5 seconds.
That's a long blind.
A very long blind.
And we were seeing an HTC last week where I think it was Kalaris just laughing. He's like, and the blind comes out and nothing happens. Nobody's dying.
And, you know, granted, that is a level 16 talent. They should be powerful. Maybe that should be more powerful than Lili's base kit that has a 2 second one on it. But I've always just wondered, why doesn't Monk have blind? It's all over his kit in Diablo. Come on, give the guy some love here.
I could see that sneaking in at some point, right? It's a pretty big deal right now. Shields are a really big deal right now. Blinds are a really big deal right now. And it sounds like, Kyle, you're calling it, movement speed is about to be a really big deal.
I think we're about to see some problems arise. And they may be fun, but I'm hoping, I'm very scared of that swarm that's coming.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of other factors to consider, specifically with balance changes that are about to be made as well, because there's a big balance patch on the PTR, which we are assuming will go live next week with Lucio. We're not going to talk about all of them. We're just going to hit some highlights here. First up, with Mr. Falstad and Hinterland's Blast getting the added functionality of having its cooldown reduced by 25 seconds for every enemy hero hit.
Yes, I love it.
I do too. I don't like Falstad really at all. He's one of my least favorite heroes. This is enough to make me want to pick him up again.
The best thing about this is, of course, the thought process that, hey, that's a 120 second cooldown. If I hit the whole enemy team, I've got another one. And that's scary. That's awesome. But I mean, the real encouraging thing about this is all you have to do is hit. You don't have to get kills. It's not like Zagara's old maw. You just got to hit him, which means you can lead with this and then fight it out for 20 seconds and have another one if you only hit four people.
It's good. It's good.
There will still be maps where you should go Mighty Gust no matter what, because there's just a chance. Well,
that's what we want, right? I mean, that's clearly what Team One wants. They want options. They want you to make an educated decision when you go to choose your heroic, and that's just not the case with many heroes.
And if there's a boss on the map, you should probably still go Mighty Gust, just because there's always going to be the chance that you can win the game and take it back, no matter how far behind you are. Same with Holy Ground on Tyrael, right? So, really cool way to encourage this. This could be hugely disastrous, particularly for Quick Match, as I see Falstad getting some good kills in the future. Right now, he's in the bottom six of heroes' win rates, down there with Li Ming, which is so weird.
It is very weird. I still love me some Li Ming, man. I do work. Oh, yeah. I clean up on Li Ming.
Li Ming is my go-to battlefield. I'm still sitting here going, why isn't anyone banning this? This got to the third pick. Why? The magic missile build on Battlefield is so crazy powerful.
Well, it's because we're here, Kyle. We have reached the Heroes of the Storm present, where there's too many good heroes.
Maybe that's also Anubarak doing fantastic, and anyone casting spells is going to suffer.
Anubarak doing fantastic, I think, is the single most confusing point in heroes history at this point, because you're in the draft and you're like, do we ban Anubarak? And then your eye starts twitching because you start thinking about all of the other heroes that are left open as a result of you even considering banning Anubarak.
Right. Artanis' win rate is going down right now. And I think it's just because he's been banned for so long that even the good players aren't practiced. There's so many weird things. I think Rag is entering a very similar area, too, where people are going, do we ban? This guy's probably just going to mess it up by doing the wrong build. So do we stop our own team from taking it? Is that why we're banning?
Yeah. Well, you're very, very, speaking of Rag, you're extremely excited about his level 13, the Resilient Flame change that's happening.
Well, not for myself, of course, because it was a fantastic talent to exploit. It is now going to have a 10-second cooldown on itself. This was whenever you got stunned, you would get 50 armor, so 50% reduced damage for 3 seconds, which meant if you're up against a Diablo come 13, you start standing in the wrong places. You start standing out in gankable places for Valyra to get you, so that they'd pump everything into Rag while you take half damage, survive, hit him with the mace and heal up and continue the fight and do it again and again. And then Diablo stuns you twice in a row. Well, now you're just invincible forever. Not really the half damage, but it was a fun way to play. It deserves to be nerfed.
I agree. And then Greymane getting changes to Marked for the Kill. It's now going to be called Cursed Bullet. I'm not sure I like that more than Marked for the Kill, to be completely honest. I'm not sure I'm in on that.
To be fair, they're not marked in any way anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Fine. Good point. Yeah, it has new functionality. It fires a bullet that hits the first hero in its path, dealing 35% of their current health as damage, and it cannot hit vehicles.
Which are Dragon Knights.
Yes.
Garden Terrors,
all that kind of jazz. It's on a 30-second cooldown. It's going to cost you 50 mana. Kyle, are you gonna pick this up? Are you pre-ordering your Cursed Bullet right now?
I'm really excited about this. I'm sad that it doesn't have the old functionality of giving you a chance to leap to the target or anything like that, but 35% of current health is an opener. And that is really exciting for Greymane to have. He does suffer if he doesn't have enough generic lobby damage on his team to bruise people up so that when he leaps in, people don't go, what's this Greymane doing in my face? I have full health. Let's kill him. You need that fear going in the enemy team and being able to knock out 35% of Diablo's health, Cho'Gall's health. He needs armor bad. These sort of things are opportunities now. And now with the level 20, granted, you never take a 10 to get to 20. Looking at you, Nazebos, recently. But Gilneas Roulette, which allows it to go through all enemies in its path and reduces the cooldown by 5 seconds per hero hit. Now you could chunk the whole enemy team for their current health, not maximum health, but still have an opportunity to go in afterwards. Yeah. I think it'll be a very powerful tool for Greymane to do what he needs to.
I wonder if something happened where, because we're seeing this, you know, the level 20 on Gilneas Roulette. We're seeing the baked in added functionality of Hinterland's Blast of this, you know, per enemy hit, get a discount on your cooldown. Like, what happened? Like, someone stubbed their toe on cooldown discounts? Or like, hey, we could work with this.
Yeah, you point that out, and it's easy to think that maybe it's coincidence, but this could be a very real way of Blizzard saying, everybody's deathballing, let's back this up a little bit with some choices.
Hmm.
What if they went 4 warriors? 3 warriors we've seen in HGC multiple times, now particularly Abraxas. These mega fortress comps are really disconcerting in many ways. How about something like this to sort of negate that? Yeah. I would take Hinterland Blast on Falstad along with a gathering power build, because it wasn't about the boomerang hitting the front line. It was about it shooting to the back and then exploding with the boomerang at 7 and then coming back through the front line again, giving those maximum stacks. I used Hinterland Blast to hit the back line and kill Jaina. It had nothing to do with the front line guys I hit as well. Now I'm encouraged further.
Now you're just making me want some more love given back to Living Bomb. Given the death balls, can we have something, Kyle? Can we have a talent that I can put on Living Bomb that when I cast it on a hero, it creates a visible radius around them, and it reduces how long it will take for it to explode depending on how many enemies are within that radius.
Don't you get? You have Pyromaniac. Each time Living Bomb deals periodic damage, Kael'thas's basic ability cooldowns are reduced by 1 second.
Yeah, that's not what I'm asking for. I want my bomb to explode quicker if there's like 3 dudes stacked up on top of each other.
I see. Well, Lucio in general has given us all a want for Blizzard to expand the information available to you as the player. Let's give Brightwing a visual on the ground. Why not give Kael'thas a visual of what the range of that Living Bomb explosion actually is? I mean, we felt it out for over a year now. But what if we saw a graphic? Would it change how you used him? Would it increase his win rate?
I mean, I think the visual distinction of certain abilities has a very large role to play in how effective they are, right? If they ever make overkill like more noticeable, I think it's going to make Tychus take a dive.
Sure. Oh, certainly the minigun, right? Because yeah. It is now just a small.
We're not overkill. Sorry, minigun. Yeah. I'm transposing my Gatling gun abilities on Tychus. Yes, minigun. Sorry, his active D, which also sounds bad. But if it ever becomes like a loud visual ability, he's just going to take a dive because, you know, it's so easy to capitalize on folks who are not paying attention.
And Hammer used to not have a indicator for what their range was, and that got added in, and Hammer's win rate went up. So I think we can expand those, and I was very shocked to see on Lucio that they didn't have all the information I did as to what my circles were.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Right. I mean, although it doesn't really matter for them unless you're killing them with your sweet beats with that particular heroic.
Right, and they feel the movement speed, the little wisps of green are coming off them, or their health's going up, so they know they're in the area. It's not the hugest information available, but it is crucial, and I'm glad we're not overlapping graphics and making this just some horrible children's drawing when things are going a bit nuts, and everyone's just scribbling the crayons.
Yeah. Also, I'm totally with Drinking around the chat room. It says they should transpose Tychus' abilities. Q should be called Minigun, and his trait should be called Overkill.
I agree completely.
Yeah. It's I've always had a hard time parsing that in my brain for whatever reason.
We can talk about the other big problem here, and that's Thrall. Sundering Earthquake, really? that's a sundering and this is an earthquake?
Yeah.
How about fissure? Huh?
Fissure. It is a, that's way more correct. Far more correct. But yeah, Thrall, actually, speaking of that, hey, you know what heroics really needed more good things, Kyle?
What's that?
Earthquake and Sunder. They clearly needed to be improved. Because
and they will no longer be interruptible.
Exactly.
That's actually very powerful.
Yes, it's very. It's very powerful. Neither Earthquake nor Sunder can now, they're not going to be interrupted if Thrall is interrupted during his casting animation of those two heroics.
He had a nice little wind-up for each of them, and now it's just going to roll, and it does help. I tested this out a little bit. Nice.
No, dude, I can't tell you how many times I've been, stunned out of my Sunder.
Oh, 8 seconds is so detrimental, and You were dead. That was your survivability. That was a big chunk heal. That was a stun to the enemy team. Whatever it was, it's over when you got slightly knocked back by face melt by ETC.
Yeah. Valera, I am very excited about these changes, Kyle.
I'm very scared.
Basic attack damage increased. Health increased. Health regen increased. Ambush's energy cost halved. It used to cost 20. It's going to cost 10. 10, Kyle.
I like that one a lot. There wasn't enough reasons to ambush instead of Garrote or Cheap Shot. And now we see it for what it truly is, great damage with a very low cost, possibly a finisher, even more encouragement to take something like Assassinate.
Yeah. Yeah. Garrote is having its silence duration increase from 2 to 2.25 seconds. Because the silence wasn't long enough already.
No.
I'm a big Valera fan, by the way, so I'm going to be abusing the hell out of this. Impact damage, however, has been reduced quite a bit. It was at 75. It's going down to 20. And the damage over time has been reduced from 175 to 140. So now it is first and foremost a silence. Which
is good.
Yes, which is good. And then Cloak of Shadows, the heroic, is having its cooldown reduced from 18 to 15. And the duration increased from 1 to 1.5 seconds. I am ecstatic about this. I've been logging in this week and being like, all right, I'm going to go have some fun in Quick Match. I could work on my Ragnaros. I could work on Artanis. Or I could just play Valera and have a blast.
Well, winning's fun, too. And Valera does that pretty well in Quick Match.
Mm-hmm. No, she kind of stomps. It's still a lot of Valera versus Valera. And that can get exhausting because you're just kind of, I'm just sitting there. Just last week, I know I was all about it, but that's because she was new. Relatively new, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, whatever the case was. I was all about it. She's relatively new. A lot of Valera's out there just want to get out of the shadows and stabby, stab, stab. But now I have to get patient, Kyle, because the other Valera's are patient. So I'm just sitting there waiting, like Batman brooding on a rooftop, waiting for the other Valera to show up.
And whichever Valera pops out first dies. And that's how those fights go. They also did a bit to move around her talents a little bit, increasing the duration of the poisons. Messing with Assassinate a little bit, reducing the range on it since they're decreasing the cost, as you could use that to catch back up or to deliver the final blow as someone limps away.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool opportunities for talent diversity. I think she's going to be a terror.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Chat room, did I say health regen increased? Sorry, I meant to say decreased. You're absolutely right. My bad.
Yeah, for some weird reason, they left a bug in or something that her health regen was way too high for this type of character. So they cut that back, even though they increased her overall health, which is crazy because she's got more health than Thrall in the first place.
Yeah. Well, speaking of moving around talents, the ones on Valera, that's cool. Not as insane as what's happening with Varian over on the PTR and soon on the live game. Hey, you know his stable of level 13 talents, Kyle? You know your swath of banners?
Yeah.
They're all going to 16. All of them. All of them.
And everything at 16 is moving to 13.
Yes, that means Juggernaut, Mortal Strike, Shattering Throw. You can choose one of those now, 3 levels earlier.
Very strong. It's such a good level for counterplay, and they're right. 16 was sometimes too late.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said in the dev comments. You know, that we like that these are counter options, but they come in a little too late to draft him specifically for them. So I'm stoked about this. I'm still a big Variant fan. They've been hitting, personally, not to be too much of a fanboy, I really think they've been hitting it out of the park with their new heroes lately.
I agree. They're very well designed, and banners aren't something that I really diversify much based on the situation. Usually my spec or my team will inform what that banner is going to be. Very rarely do I make a decision based on what the enemy team is doing. So let's move up Juggernaut, Mortal Strike, Shattering Throw. And we're going to need that Shattering Throw at 13.
Yeah.
Breaking down those shields.
And then there's a murky rework, Kyle. It has finally arrived. And as you said earlier, much earlier in the episode, goodness gracious, I can't believe how long we've already spent just on the PTR. Be prepared. Be prepared for irate fish people yelling at you for ruining their stacks.
If they're not mad about you ruining it, they're going to be mad that you're even playing him. Hipster murkies will be out in force. Some of them never stopped and think this rework's pretty cool. Lots of people did stop because of his win rate or his obvious counters and fast attack speed heroes like Tracer, Zarya, as they piled up in the meta and caused issues. Even Tyke is having a big rework that made him even more detrimental to murky. Those problems have been fixed, and even the Tassadar Medivh problems have been fixed for murky, in my opinion, and in very unique ways. And I'm really excited for murky to hit the field, possibly HGC.
Okay, strong. That's a strong call there, Kyle.
Well, take a look at his level one talent choices right now. They've all been completely reworked for the most part. You have Fisheye, bonus health on your egg, sight radius bonus, reveals nearby stealth enemies, and when you exit your egg, you have increased movement speed to 45% for 5 seconds.
Mounted movement speed.
Right, so you're booking it out of your egg, and that thing is well protected.
It's a bastion. It's a safe place. I like that.
Compare that to Egg Hunt. Activate and place a fake egg. If the fake egg dies, it casts slime. Maximum 3 fake eggs, 6 second cooldown.
I love this, by the way.
It's such a creative way. It could have been so dumb and granular, and this type of egg reduces spell damage by 50%, so Medivh can't gain. Like, no, don't. That's awful. That's horrible. That's not fun. But this is fun. And it counters Medivh Tassadar in a way.
Well, I think there's also something to be said about specifically the Egg Hunt talent, right? Like, I think there's something to be said here about timing and almost expectation, right? How this plays off of a meta knowledge. I don't think if Egg Hunt was in the game from the get-go, I would have been all that excited about it. We would have been trained to consider that option from right out the gate. But now that Murky has been in the game as long as he has, or she, do we ever get a confirm? I don't know. I don't know Murky's gender.
I have to assume he's like a bug and he's born pregnant.
Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever the case. Now that it's being added after the fact, everyone's going to instinctively go and kill the egg. They're going to get slimed, and out of the bushes will come a murderous fish.
Well, and even part of Egg Hunt is upon exiting the egg, you're stealthed for 5 seconds. So they don't even know which egg is real because you're stealth, not unrevealable. So they could find the shimmer and hunt you down that way. But you're moving around your egg. There's fake eggs everywhere. That's really cool. And that is up against Fishy Deal at level one. Killing an enemy minion, one enemy minion, gives you 1 stack of bribe. Use 5 stacks of bribe to get a mercenary.
Maximum 20 stacks. I'm really...
This is why I'm talking about angry murkies, though. Because you have to get the killing blow on these guys. If you ruin murky's lane, he's not going to be able to get you those giants for the very first curse, the second they pop up. Yeah. He's ready to go.
That being said, I want to talk you back off that ledge a little bit, though, because this is a strong enough of an effect that I think we will all collectively learn fast enough.
I think so. It's more obvious. The results are very felt. I could have taken that camp. How dare you ruin me? Instead of Asmodan's like, I could have had 20 damage. And you're like, okay.
It's nebulous, right? It's nebulous. Yeah. You're not really seeing that extra damage from Asmodan. Even if you're Asmodan, you're probably not really noticing unless you're like getting kills right and left. But knowing the fact that, like, oh, we just keep getting mercenaries within seconds, maybe we should back up this Murky's plan because it seems to be working out pretty well.
This is also an interesting feature to encourage older Murky styles. But in all reality, when you go through all these individual ability changes, you're going to have a very different and possibly more brawly Murky than you had before.
No, I completely agree. I'm sorry, Kyle, but I have to derail. Hot off the presses. I've actually never heard this before. Drink and Run in the chat room is schooling us on Murky's gender.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Medic in the game, Lieutenant Morales, has a line when she's partied with Murky that says, when she's confused, and she says that her scanners say it's male, but he lays eggs.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. Sign me up.
Seahorse situation, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm glad Blizzard's as confused as we are. It adds to the lore.
Yes, yes, I dig it. I dig it. My final question to you on Murky though, Kyle, is this gonna get you to take March of the Murlocs? Cooldown being reduced by 20 seconds, the increased movement speed of the tiny Murlocs by 30%. These tiny Murlocs are gonna be booking it.
They will be fast. They will get up on characters. They do not pierce targets, which means they'll grab onto the first thing they run into, no matter how fast they go. So they will be limited in that way. But I'd like to draw your eye to the new level 20 augment, Never Ending Murlocs. March of the Murlocs can now be channeled indefinitely.
Ooh!
You just point that, you just blow that conch for as long as you can, and it goes.
Hey, I love that you say conch. B, I cannot wait to do this when we have them contained at the altar.
It's very dangerous. Murky's March of the Murlocs does not pierce shields well. You are likely, in that scenario you just named, going to die. But when it comes to forts, keeps, and things that are happening during objectives, this 20 talent will get you back on the field.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of these changes. I know last week we were saying, man, too many changes too fast. It's hard for me to get my head wrapped around this. But what do you do when you're really excited about a lot of the changes?
Well, it's one thing to, you know, keep changing things, changing the meta. New heroes come up and change the meta directly. It's another thing to take poor little Murloc and lift him up into the sun for a little bit and say, let's fix the problems that have developed for this character as we've made new characters. And it's very dynamic. I'm very impressed. You know, spawn egg, you're going to spawn 3 seconds later. It's 8 seconds for every death now. How does that change what you're doing? Slime has a quest now to just do huge amounts of damage, huge amounts of slow as you repeatedly apply it. Pufferfish will be targeted by structures. That alone is a huge play change to how it does it. 50% less damage
and
to structures.
And it can take damage from abilities.
It can. And it has a set health. So Tracer doesn't burn it. That's fixed. The auto attack, the fast auto attacks. But it can be killed just by raw damage. A Flame Strike can take it out. You're up against Flame Strikes, though. Take that level 4 Tupper Fish. Now it has 50 spell armor. It gets dynamic.
Yeah. I like these changes. And honestly, I like that it's going to take a few more seconds for Murky to resurrect. Because before, I felt like it didn't really matter if I died. I wasn't that concerned about dying, which means I wasn't that concerned about one of my core abilities, which is bubbling. So I think this is gonna reward you for being even more annoying, which I like.
And for making really smart choices based on the current set of the map. Before, you could suicide yourself into walls. And when he first released, he had a talent that he would drop a pufferfish on death, which just caused tons of problems in playstyle. Nowadays, people go into these walls, they get the pufferfish, they worth it, die, the damage is so high. That's no longer a strategy. No. So Murky needs to play a little safer, but check out this stack. This is the final one for him, I swear, but it's just so exciting to think about what's possible for this little guy. Murky's maximum health at level 20 can be doubled. It'll also double his respawn time, but you double his health. Level 13, take eggshell. Respawning from an egg gives you a shield equal to 100% of your maximum health lasting indefinitely. So you have double health, and then you can double it again at level 20 if you really want to.
Out of this world. I'm so excited for Mercury. It's weird. Like, wasn't expecting to like Lucio. Loved Lucio. Had a great time. I'm like, my God, this is the coolest thing in this patch. And then I actually go and read the patch notes, see the Mercury rework. I think I'm more excited about Mercury than anything else in here, Kyle.
Well, and you didn't like Mercury or something. There was some sort of magical discovery.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. When he first released, I hated him. I thought he was just annoying and ridiculous. And I also didn't really give him the time of day. And when I finally did, I didn't know how to play him. It was your lovely wife, Kristen, aka Dream Destroyer, who was just like, Garrett, sit down. I'm going to teach you how to Mercury correctly. And now he's always been that like go like that go back for me, that comfort. It was like my hero's comfort food. I just want to have fun tonight. I don't want to try hard. I want to have fun. That would be Mercury. Right now, that's Valera for me. I think I'm about to have a couple. I just want to have fun heroes. And Murky's coming back. He's getting dusted off. I'm gonna go in my garage right after this. I'm gonna, you know, wax the Murky, you know, shine it down, get it ready to take it to the local Murloc show. I can't wait. It's gonna be a very good time. So anyways, all right, those are the highlights. We're done talking about the balance changes. There's a couple important bug fixes, though, I wanted to highlight. First off, the Punishers on Infernal Shrine will not be bad mannering you as they try to walk into your starting area if they are led beyond keeps to protect the core.
So, fun little bug, but it's over.
Or sorry, 2A protected core. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's going away. Ragnaros, activating Empower Sulfurous will no longer cause him to lose his current target if that target was automatically acquired during attack move command. Yeah. A move matters, damn it.
It was a very frustrating bug for the time that I was working on Rag this week, so happy to have this fixed, as well as Catching Fire is now fixed as well and gives you that regeneration over the course of the quest rather than just at completion.
For half a second, I thought you told me that they were fixing the ending to the Hunger Games to something I don't feel uncertain about.
No, we're going to have to live with Hunger Games and that original Mass Effect 3 ending. It's just going to live with us the rest of our days. And we'll have to move on and deal.
All right. All right. I'm dealing.
Zagara is also fixed up. There was a rather fantastic bug that would allow you to stack Mutilus in unpathable terrain. Basically being, if you were taking a Merc camp, Mutilus would just hang out for their life duration in that one area until they died. They'll now get back in lane and get some work done.
Awesome. Very awesome. All right, Kyle, HGC is still going. There is still more Heroes of the Storm to consume every weekend than I think any human really can. And it got even worse. Even more epic and overpowering because Korea is now in full swing this weekend. Obviously there's all kinds of awesome stuff happening with HGC and there's all kinds of things that we could talk about. However, Kyle, I'm going to wrest control of the show for just a second because my Twitter has been covered, Kyle. It's been flooded. It's been buried under people tweeting me and saying, Garrett, what do you think about Arthas and how many times he's been picked in Europe? Yada, yada, yada. So I made it a point to make sure I was seeing some of these Arthas games. It's very easy to miss certain hero picks if you're not watching the particular matchups. Arthas has seen a lot of play in Europe. He's been picked by B-Genius, by Team Expert, by Synergy. And if we're going to go outside Europe to Korea, which always gets me very excited, MVP has also picked Arthas. And if you are an Arthas fan, I highly recommend you go and watch the MVP games. And maybe ignore the expert games, the Team Expert Arthas games. Just don't watch those ones. But I'm glad to see him back. I will say I didn't really have my mind blown, though, because when MVP picked Arthas, it made total sense. Illidan was already drafted. It's like a hard counter. You just take Arthas and you laugh.
It goes pretty well. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes very well. That being said, there was something I learned from that game that I had never really realized before. Because we don't know. When was the last time you saw Arthas picked in one of your own personal games, Kyle?
Right? That's yes. My answer.
Thank you. All right. Thank God. I thought you were going to be like two times last night and it was going to ruin my entire point. My point is that I actually walked away from watching that MVP Miracle game. And if you want to see it, by the way, it was Game 5 versus Supreme Mixtape. That I really want, Kyle, I'm putting a call out right now. If you see Garrett in your draft screen, if you see someone named Garrett, let him pick Tychus. Play Arthas, play Malfurion. I promise. I promise we will destroy. It will be over.
Tychus likes things to be held still for him.
Yeah.
And Arthas, with a follow-up from Malph, does that pretty well. If you miss your skill shot on Arthas, you still have a Slowbro, which can help Malph land his target, too. These Malphs in HGC, though, I want to like close my eyes just so I never see them, so I can avoid disappointment in my own games at home. They are just so on point. Akaface, in particular, oh my goodness.
I want a new skin for Malfurion that is a gardener sniper, because that's exactly what I'm seeing in the HGC from Malfurions. Yeah. Their roots are so on point. So absolutely on point. But yeah, that's what I was surprised, because there was all this hype around Arthas and I missed a lot of the Arthas games. I was like, all right, well, let me go see how MVP throws down. And I left not wanting to play Arthas. I left wanting everyone else to play Arthas while I continue to play Tychus.
Now, you were hinting earlier that Arthas, or to me off air, that Arthas might be a Chromie combo?
No, not a combo. It was more that in the first game I watched where Team Expert chose Arthas, and again, this was versus Fnatic in game two, that Fnatic grabbed a Chromie, which was the other big thing that I think has been making waves this past week, is that Chromie has seen a kind of a surge in the EU meta. But that game was on Braxis holdout. Chromie, it turns out, is fantastic on Braxis. I can't remember the last time I've seen a Chromie taken. I think we've even mentioned in the past, like when Braxis first came out, that, hey, Chromie probably be pretty cool here because it's a single point that you have to hold and she can just bully you. And that's exactly what Fnatic's Chromie was doing in this game. Team Expert went Arthas. I'm getting all excited, all this hype. Yeah, I missed this game. Let's watch an awesome Arthas. It was awful. It was just didn't work out at all. I completely disagreed with it. I was watching it and I was agreeing. I'm not disagreeing with the casters, Trixler and Kalaris. They brought up good points. I completely agree with them. Yes, Sindragosa is awesome on Braxis holdout, but it's a long cooldown. And in this particular matchup, you know, the good old it depends, are going up against a Chromie, and they're like, well, yeah, Sindragosa is also awesome with Chromie too. And I'm just sitting here going, like, this is like people calling lethal in a Hearthstone stream when, yes, it technically would be if you had 11 mana and were cheating. Like, yes, Sindragosa is great here, but you have to make a choice. Are you using it on the Zerg or are you using it on Chromie? Because it's on a 100-second cooldown. You can't do both.
Chromie in general has been really impressing me in the HGC, and we're seeing more and more of her as it goes on. The one that really surprised me was it was used two times. B-Step used it against No Tomorrow, and then Fnatic used it against Misfits. They took Ariel, and they're like, awesome, we'll Chromie into this. And if you've been with us since Ariel and Chromie's release, Ariel is the counter to Chromie in many of our heads. It's Aegis is the way to completely turn off a temporal loop. But you'd never let Ariel get 10 before your Chromie's got Temporal Loop now, particularly with her getting it at level 8. And Chromie is destroying Ariel. And it really surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the pro play, right? Like, we haven't been seeing a lot of Chromie. All of a sudden, we are. And just like you're being impressed, and I also, by the Malfurion plays, by these just on points, just sinister surgical roots, you're seeing the same thing from Chromie. Chromie is like I think Chromie's more of a sniper than Nova, the actual sniper in the game. And if you are accurate, if you are on point, you're going to get insane return from Chromie. And so do not go and watch game two of Expert versus Fnatic to see Arthas play. Watch it to see the most insane Chromie play I've ever seen. I believe by the end of it, Chromie had doubled the damage of anyone else in the entire game.
She's being used to counter Malfurion in HGC because the burst damage completely negates the healing over time. Most of the Malfurions are going Twilight Dream as well, so they can't even outheal the damage of Chromie. She's even beaten Zarya comps, Morales comps. It's pretty scary. And it looks like to actually beat an HGC Chromie, you have to do raw health, Muradin, and things of that nature. Nothing cute.
Yeah, not to mention Muradin actually helps you get to the Chromie. I can't tell you how many times during this game I watched Arthas land a perfect Howling Blast on Chromie, but their team comp just couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't like close the gap. They couldn't actually seize the kill. And also, like I said, you have to make the choice of, are you using Syndragosa to actually get a kill on the Chromie, or are you holding it for the Zerg Wave? And they were holding for the Zerg Wave, which means they never got the Chromie, and they never ended up getting a Zerg Wave above, I think, like 20%. So it was just a defensive Syndragosa that made you lose slower.
It's also been interesting to see the difference between the various regions. And of course, all of us are thinking about Korea, who just entered the scene, and the outrageous amount of hammer they've been playing without a hammer comp behind it. They just kind of notice there's no poke and go hammer. They don't need a medic or any of these sort of zoning things that we think the double tank. They don't care. Nazebo is also a big conversation. We've alluded to a little bit over the course of the show. Nazebo is being used as a calculated extreme late game character. And it's certainly having a big impact on My Hero League. And we, in fact, met one of these fine Nazebos this afternoon in our team lead game, Garrett. As they were so focused on farming for their sweet level 20, we lost before 20. And never did see the fruits of those labors.
That's I so vehemently disagree with any plan that is get to level 20.
It's difficult because they do it so efficiently with rotations, maybe even soaking multiple lanes for your stacks of infection, that it's going to work out that way in pro play often. But as we've discussed in solo queue, stacking can be very difficult and completing certain quests can be awful.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely got that team league game, man. Jeez, I'm still like, I need ginger with my sushi. I need a palate cleanser.
It was a little rough, and he was determined and to not participate in the rest of the game. But I get it. I get what he was going for. He was doing the fancy build that's going around right now, and it is very powerful. So expect to see more Nazebos. He's available in most drafts. If you want to become an amazing Nazebo, certainly check out the Reddit post by Horsepants. Take it with a grain of salt because he's already playing this style that he's preaching. You're going to have to make some pretty big changes to your overall play in order to execute this farm build while still having an impact on the game throughout, particularly in that mid game when you start to see the beginnings of your power.
Yeah.
Another interesting note from HGC I wanted to bring up at the very end here is team composition win rates. We've been seeing a lot of double warrior and very few specialists. Mostly the comps have been double warrior, two assassin, single support. But the actual win rates for a classic World of Warcraft style comp with one warrior, three assassins, and a support is 30% higher throughout HGC, North America and Korea. And that particular comp has an 80% win rate in Europe. Anytime any team runs a double warrior comp, their win rate goes down to 45% chance just based on them doing that comp right now.
I'm very personally very excited about that.
It may move us out of this double warrior comp we've been stuck in. Maybe that sort of wave has given new life into Tychus for me and certainly is going to readjust the meta as people go, everyone was a little confused here, but now we've once again learned to stop targeting tanks in a sense, and we're circumventing through Valyra, through Chromie, Hammer, Nazebo, all these other options, raw damage of Gul'dan. Those characters have risen to the top again, and we're going to go back to our previous one warrior, three assassins. I'd love to see a specialist in there. Meta.
Yeah, I think if we really are about to go back to the classic three damage, one tank, one support, I don't think it will be that long before we find room for a specialist again. I think we already are with the Zeebo, but I think there's room for other specialists.
And to note that the highest win rates for comps across bronze to gold are always going to have two specialists. And that's because of lane clear, because of map control. If you look it up, if you look up the statistics, that's what you'll see. Bronzers are awesome specialists because they pay attention to the lane and they love it. And then when they bring that XP together for a team fight, they end up winning out.
Well, anything else that anything else of note from HGC this weekend, Kyle? Or
those are the big ones for me. Excited to see how it continues to go on and what sort of refinement of this information we talked about today we'll see as certain teams drop out and stop putting in statistics that aren't superior, to put it lightly.
Yeah, so losing strategies are going to the cream will rise.
I'm excited to see what winning teams bring for their winning comps.
Cool. Very cool.
We've seen a lot of, as we mentioned last week, backyard chain fights.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's just like, oh, wow. Well, okay, so they have Indiana Jones superpowers, which is they get knocked the F out and they just keep getting back up and fighting. And then this week I got to watch some Korean esports and I was like, ah, yes, there's the surgical finesse I've been missing. But anywho, very cool. Keep watching. There's so much heroes to digest right now in just esports, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's hard to stay on top of it, and that's part of our job. And goodness gracious. Before we take some emails and wrap this beefy episode up, let's thank our patrons over at patreon.com/ITN. As we mentioned, we have hit one of our latest goals to have the internet's own Jeff Cannata join us once a month, every month, until he gets bored, we die, or I don't know, you guys get bored and stop supporting us. And we're also moving towards our next goal of having Dunk Train back once a month, every month. Forever. So anywho, thank you so much everyone for the support for that. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Declan H, Cheesy Bob, and Philip P. And this week let's thank Kevin T, Nicholas M, Daniel G, Hexaris, Fuster Cluck. Gonna say that well as done. Slowly as possible. Brad A, Pat C, and Michael. No last name given. Had to get one of those in there this week. So thank you all for the support. And now let's wrap this thing up with some emails from the itncast@gmail.com inbox.
Darkness stopped calling.
Hold on. Darkness just texted me.
Okay, tell them I'm not here.
Our first email comes to us today from Nick, who writes, "Hey guys, my name is Pug." Oh, I guess I should have listed that as your name instead of Nick. Sorry, Nick. I will now refer to you as Pug. Pug with two G's. And I'm extremely new to Heroes of the Storm. I have a small amount of MOBA experience, but not a ton. I would assume you don't have a ton because you said you have a small amount. I'm just teasing now. I've been saving up all of my precious gold to buy a hero, and I find myself wanting to play my WoW favorites, Medivh and Variant. I'm nervous picking these characters and not seeing value out of them, especially Medivh, but I want to become good at them. Should I play them, practice them, and risk being a detriment to my team, or should I buy characters that are easier to play because I am a noob? I forgot to mention, I only play quick play as I am afraid to play anything else yet. Thank you so much. Love the show. I would say right off the bat, without anything of interest, or I even would go as far to say without you learning a damn thing, Nick, it's quick play. Play whatever you want.
Right, and that's really the most important part. If you're looking to get better at the game, it's nuance. I've been gray main beat in lane in a 1v1 fight from full health by Azul. And it felt weird. And it wasn't right. I was like, should this really be happening? But yes, it did. Because that guy, Master Skin and everything on him, he was good. And he knew exactly at which health to pull out, pull back, get in an auto attack, run for it, and sweep that scythe over me. It's all about what you know and exactly which characters on the enemy team with two levels behind or ahead that you know you can 1v1, particularly when it comes to quick play. That being said, Medivh, quick match, 38% win rate. I would like you to play something a little more encouraging, because winning is fun, and everyone should have a healthy experience with a game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm always the type that goes, well, what's your goal? What is your goal, Pug? Is it winning? Okay, if you're new, probably don't go with Medivh. But if you came to Heroes because you want to play characters from the Blizzard universe that you were in love with, then you should probably just keep doing that because it'll keep you in the game. Because Lord knows I forced roommates in college onto very specific WoW roles because that's what we needed in the raid, and they stopped playing for 6 months, and then they showed up 6 months later on the other faction, a completely different class, and kicking my butt as they raided our capital city. So I think that is something that is important. If it's a game that you want to stay invested in, you should do whatever it is that brings you the most joy, that you're enjoying the most. As Kyle said, winning is fun. Winning is very fun. So there's definitely an argument for if you want to win, and also if you just want to eventually play Hero League and amass a roster large enough so that you can go and draft, absolutely pick up some of the easier to play heroes because some of them are also cheaper and you'll be able to accrue them quicker, which means you'll have a larger roster faster and you can go and at least dip your toe in unranked if you have a bit of ladder anxiety with Hero League.
And Medivh is going to do a lot of things that people won't take advantage of that I, on a personal level, with game knowledge, would find frustrating. Giving sight to people who miss their skill shots. Putting out portals to save lives that don't get used. And you know what? I don't use Medivh portals because we're not on voice chat for one. That does help a bit. And they're also your friends' portals, so you use them. It just doesn't enter my head because I don't play with enough Medivhs. I don't think dynamically about, is there a portal coming? But if he doesn't put that portal, have I just doomed myself? And those are going to be issues. But Varian, run with Varian, man.
Go.
He's multi-class. Go, go, go. Get as good as you can at all three specs. I mean, that is an open pick in Hero League that is never frowned upon.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's gonna be mad at you, and he's extremely versatile.
They will want taunt right now, but while you're doing quick match and all, just try them all out. You can solo a boss at 10 with Fury. You got Colossus Smash, which does great burst damage and the vulnerability it brings, and of course the long CC chains of taunt there.
Yeah. So and as always, it always comes down to this. If you just want to learn some basic things, play Raynor. He will force you to learn things like positioning and stutter stepping and all that kind of jazz because he doesn't have bells and whistles. He lives and dies by how often and how frequently you are just connecting.
Right, and that's an interesting way to think about how a newer player could naturally expand their roster through things they understand. So Varian has a forward momentum with a charge. You might, by virtue of putting in that time, become a decent butcher or a Nubarak even because of your frontline sort of slow skill shots. You could get really good at impale on a Nubarak, burrow charging in now that your thought process is like that. Working on Raynor can make you an excellent Gul'dan. Even though they're two completely different types of damage, the positioning is very much the same.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's like you always say, if you can play Tychus, you're probably an okay Vala. Although, that being said, I'm a garbage Vala, and I'm a damn good Tychus, if I do say so myself. So I'm the exception that proves the rule.
Another new one. And that's like saying if you're good at Tracer, you'll be good at Lucio. They're very, very different things.
I would actually say that one is just nuts, because one is going to murder everyone, and one is not.
Not exactly. One will aid others in the murdering.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But welcome to Heroes of the Storm, Pug. Good luck. And if I can make one more suggestion, go in there. Don't do anything. Look at the general chat in the bottom right-hand corner. Hit enter. Type /join AMOVETV. Join the AMOVETV chat room. There are always super kind folks in there willing to help folks learn and just have a good time. Because that's the other really fun thing about Heroes of the Storm. And if you are new, I think you should go and experience as soon as possible. And that's playing with at least one other person over comms. It's a blast. Don't miss it.
And you get an XP bonus.
You do. You do. Level those heroes up real fast. Get some sweet skins. All right, our next and final bit of business for this episode is an email from Iggy, who writes in. All I can think of is Dills' dog now.
Writing in live.
All I can think about it, yeah. Iggy writes in and says, hey guys, I want Dills to take me outside and throw the ball. And then Iggy, the hero, the Into the Nexus listener, writes, so a Nubarak just crawled to the top win rate at Hot Slogs for all leagues and has a 60% win rate at Master and Diamond. What is going on? I'm just going to let that settle in. Okay. Continuing. I've been picking him at every game instead of other tanks and going full Beetle build with Dampened Magic at 1, Burning Rage at 13. He just walks up to a fight, eats up all the spell damage skills, stuns a bunch of enemy heroes, and sustains a lot through the Beetles and Swarm. If it goes sour, you burrow out. You don't really have to pick him against mage comps only, since AA heroes have a lot of spell damage durabilities too. I still get wrecked by Zul'jin, but I am able to duel and gank most heroes. What are your thoughts?
I agree completely. And Anubarak was tactically taken this week by me in a successful team league game because I saw a Li Ming, a Zeratul on the enemy side. And then I think they went into a Jaina as well. So it was just like, all right, it's all spell damage. Zeratul, good auto attacks, but it's going to open with spell damage. Let's do this. And it went fantastic. And I agree. I think the ability to, with dampened magic, absorb all the burst, even have something like a thrall, that can lead to victory. You and I in the past have played what we called Frost Bros, which has become that much more ingrained in exactly what we love doing with them, which was the seesaw. I'd go front, absorb all the burst, then I'd back out while you move in and take care of the sustain and slow it out. Now you have armor for that as well. Mm-hmm. And I have spell armor on Anubarak, so it's become that much more unique to that role.
Yeah, I also love it because it's lore. Anubarak, roll out the red carpet. And I just walk in after you've gotten loud.
And you know, any spawning of things are going to affect characters with skill shots. Look at the win rates right now. Top is Anubarak, Lost Vikings. We just ignore them forever because they're always up there with few games played. Anubarak, Samudo, Nazebo, Gazlo. You can already see the connection as to why Li Ming is in the bottom four of Hotslog's win rates. That is crazy. Li Ming has been crushing it for so long. But beetles, turrets, zombie walls, gargantuan, illusions from Samudo, all these things get in her way. And Anubarak has only picked 13% of games. He is available in most games, rarely ban out. This is, I think, a calling card. And it's not as pure as it was in the past when we were all just afraid of Anubarak. He was OP. The beetles were doing too much damage. The build is not pretty. It's not all beetles across the board. It is very much dampened magic at one, then into beetles for a little bit of self-sustain so you can heal yourself. You might go chitinous plating now that it's fixed up come this patch Tuesday into locust swarm. What have I said here? I've already said level one, you negate all the burst damage when you go in. And then you pick up beetles to heal yourself with the swarm to take care of the sustain. You have now countered your counter. And as the writer points out here, yes, do not take him into Vala, but particularly Zul'jin, because it's just pure auto attack damage. Even the spells he does enhances his auto attack damage purity.
Yeah. Which is totally fine. He shouldn't be good against everything. No hero should be. Although I think Murky is about to become that, personally.
He'll still have his moments and his counters, and it's going to take people a bit, but I think Anubarak's ready to go today. If you have a history with him, if you're prepared for those skill shots to make smart decisions on your burrow, I say go for it. Put him on your bar.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad that you had all those answers because I don't have a history with Anubarak, and honestly, I know Iggy was asking what's going on, but I seriously wanted to know as well. I'm not up to snuff on my Anubarak, Kyle.
Avoiding opening burst in Hero League. That makes sense. It's very powerful.
Yes, I can wrap my brain around that. So, well, I believe that brings us to the end of, as I said before, I think a rather meaty episode of Into the Nexus. I think this is the perfect amount of heft for Kyle, you to run off and take a week off on.
Yes, I'm off to vacation. I'm going on a family cruise. I'm going to enjoy it.
I'm stoked for you, man, because I feel like I can't remember the last time you told me, yeah, I'm going on vacation. I can't remember the last time you told me that.
Hey, it's been a while.
I think it was your honeymoon. I think your honeymoon was the last time I heard that from you. That was a while ago.
5 years. Yes. It's been a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, thank you everyone for tuning in. Huge thanks again to our badass patrons supporting us over at patreon.com/ITN. Thank you guys so much. Keep those iTunes reviews coming. We are, as always, a production of amove.tv, where you can find the entire back catalog of Into the Nexus, plus many other, I would say fantastic podcasts, but I might be a bit biased. Thank you again to our Patreon producers, Declan H., Cheesy Bob, and Philip P. You guys are awesome. Catch us live Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/amovetv or on alphageekmedia.com. If you're out on the move, you can catch that live via virtually just about any device, thanks to Alpha Geek Media. And don't forget, next week, Kyle will be gone, but I will be joined by the one, the only, Dunk Train. I cannot wait to just... It'll probably just be like an hour of, so, Dunk, what do you think of Lucio? And waterfall of information.
From the Twitch streams I've caught off him, you'll get a passionate answer, I assure you.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. You can follow us on Twitter. The show is at ITNcast. And we got to thank Gorath, who did our intro music, and BrianGriffithMusic.com that did our outro music for the fantastic music in this show. So without further ado, Kyle, you're not always on this show. So when you're doing other things, where can folks find you?
You can find me at twitch.tv/KyleFerguson for Heroes of the Storm streams, but you can also check all the videos that are posted over at youtube.com/KyleFerguson. I encourage you to check out this past week's Duo Team League stream with TBK Zord of Lord of the Storm and the video that's up over on the YouTube now, Burrow Bros, where I play both Dahaka and Anubarak in that competitive environment.
Nice, Burrow Bros. I love it. That's great. Are we doing Frost Bros tonight, Kyle? Is that a thing that might happen in the after show?
We should.
Is that going to happen? All right. I'm excited. It never works out that well, but it's fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrett Art. There are two R's and two T's in Garrett. Otherwise, you're not going to find me. And everything else is on amove.tv. Go check out my solo show, The Angry Nerd, which is on amove.tv as well, or anywhere podcasts can be found. It's going to do it for this episode. It's going to do it for Kyle for the next 2 weeks. Enjoy your vacation, sir. And until next time, everyone, good luck, have fun, and don't put everything you have into the burrowing beetle monster.
Take care.